Hello, I'm Stephen Mansfield. Welcome to Derek Prince Legacy Radio.
Derek Prince Legacy Radio, a broadcast outreach of Derek Prince Ministries, bringing you the very best from the vast teaching archive of author and Bible teacher Derek Prince. Your guide to the Derek Prince legacy is New York Times best-selling author and speaker, Stephen Mansfield.
Hello and welcome to Derek Prince Legacy Radio. I'm Stephen Mansfield. I'm so glad that you've joined me on this Tuesday, January the 23rd. We are in the second day of a series on relationship with God. One of the more powerful series that Derek has done. And today he's going to be talking to us about how to be a friend of God, taking principles out of the life of Abraham. You know, again, as we've been saying, Christianity is at heart a relationship with God through Jesus Christ. That's what God called us to. That's what the Old Testament promised, and that's what the New Testament tells us is fulfilled, and now we have to walk in it. Don't you want to know him? Boy, I do. So let's listen now as Derek teaches us on relationship with God.
Yesterday I explained that there is only one basis on which God will enter into a permanent relationship with man, a covenant based upon a sacrifice. Simply stated, relationship with God must be based on a covenant, and a covenant must be based on a sacrifice. Today I'm going to speak about the covenant that God made with Abraham in Genesis chapter 15. This is a most beautiful and detailed picture of how God enters into covenant with man. I'll commence by reading verses 6 through 18 of this chapter. Then he, that's Abraham, believed in the Lord, and he reckoned it to him as righteousness. And the Lord said to him, I am the Lord who brought you out of Ur of the Chaldeans to give you this land to possess it. And Abraham said, O Lord God, how may I know that I shall possess it? So the Lord said to him, Bring me a three-year-old heifer, and a three-year-old female goat, and a three-year-old ram, and a turtle dove, and a young pigeon. Then Abraham brought all these to him, and cut them in two, and laid each half opposite the other. But he did not cut the birds. And the birds of prey came down upon the carcasses, and Abraham drove them away. Now when the sun was going down, a deep sleep fell upon Abraham, and behold, terror and great darkness fell upon him. And God said to Abraham, Know for certain that your descendants will be strangers in a land that is not theirs, where they will be enslaved and oppressed 400 years. But I will also judge that nation whom they will serve, and afterward they will come out with many possessions. And as for you, you shall go to your fathers in peace. You shall be buried at a good old age. Then in the fourth generation they shall return here, for the iniquity of the Amorites is not yet complete. And it came about when the sun had set that it was very dark, and behold, there appeared a smoking oven and a flaming torch which passed between these pieces. On that day the Lord made a covenant with Abraham, saying, To your descendants I have given this land. That's a very unusual description, something that's, I suppose, almost limited to the Bible, of how God enters into a relationship with man. It's based on covenant. The covenant requires the sacrifice. Let me just point out a few things about that passage. It started when Abraham said, How may I know? How may I know, God, that you'll fulfill your promise to me? And God's answer was, He made a covenant. We need to understand this, that the final commitment of God to do whatever He has promised is in a covenant. Once God has made a covenant, there is nothing more He can do to commit Himself. Covenant is final commitment. What was the meaning of that sacrifice, that passing between the pieces? What was God saying to Abraham? What was Abraham saying to God? The truth is that each, at that point, renounced his life in favor of the other. Each said, From now on, my life has not the primary call on me. Your life is more important than mine. I'm going to live for you. I renounce my own life to do so. Let's look back again for a moment over the description of the Lord and Abraham entering into covenant. I want to draw some lessons from it, lessons that concern you and me just as much in our relationship with God today. First of all, our total spiritual experience includes times of darkness. Christianity is not a religion that just works in fair weather and when things are going well and everything seems right. Christianity is a religion for all seasons. Abraham was not backslidden, nor was he a weak or an immature believer. He was a strong, committed follower of the Lord, and yet he went through his time of darkness. And there will come, nearly always in the life of every committed believer, a time of darkness. If you're in such a time just now, I want to speak a word of encouragement to you. Don't assume that you failed God or you're backslidden or that God has failed you. God can trust you in that darkness. Maybe if you were a younger or a less mature believer, God couldn't trust you. So bear in mind that darkness is part of our total Christian experience, but there is that in Christianity which will take us through the darkness in victory. Secondly, that oven speaks of suffering. It speaks of God's purifying fire. Many places in the scripture, an oven or a furnace is a type of intense suffering. For instance, God said to Israel in Isaiah 48:10, "Behold, I have refined you, but not as silver. I have tested you in the furnace of affliction." You say, "God, why do I have to be in this furnace?" God says, "Because the furnace does things for you that nothing else will ever do." So bear in mind that the furnace of affliction doesn't mean you're out of the will of God. It means that affliction is doing something for you, refining you and purifying you in a way that nothing else will ever do.
You know, there's a beautiful truth in this teaching that I hope you'll remember. And that is that every Christian experiences times of darkness. You know, many times, the Christians I know, when they experience a season of darkness, or a valley, as some of them call it, they think they've fallen away from God. They think that God has turned his back on them. It's normal. And I think Derek teaches this beautifully. It's actually a time of purifying. It's a furnace of affliction, or a time of difficulty, or even a time of loneliness that's working something into our lives. I love the fact that Derek is teaching this holistic kind of approach that doesn't just talk about the mountaintops and the glory moments, but also says that God is working through the difficult things, through the dark times, through the valleys, and that the Christian life is multi-textured. There's so much great wisdom for living the Christian life to come as Derek Prince Legacy Radio continues.
There are invisible spiritual powers in heavenly places. Hierarchies of angels are engaged in war on a scale that most Christians cannot imagine. And you are being drawn into the action. Why? Because as a follower of Jesus, you can play a key role in determining the outcome. The question is, are you ready to take your place in God's plan for the finale of the ages? In his new book, Rules of Engagement, Derek Prince offers the guidance you need to take your place in this monumental conflict. With it, you'll discover how to develop the character of a warrior and become more and more like Jesus Christ, your commanding officer. You'll gain confidence and learn what you need to know to complete the mission. To order your copy for only $12.95, call toll-free 1-800-448-3261. That's 1-800-448-3261. In Canada, call 888-737-0771. Order Rules of Engagement and conquer the trials you face now and prepare for victory in the greater battles to come. 800-448-3261. That's 800-448-3261. Or order securely when you visit us online at derekprince.org.
Welcome back to Derek Prince Legacy Radio. I'm Stephen Mansfield. So glad you've joined us on the second day of a wonderful series on relationship with God. Again, I want to say it. I want to scream it. I want to proclaim it. Christianity is a relationship with God through Jesus Christ. And Derek Prince is teaching us how to walk in it. Let's listen.
And then the third and the final lesson is this, that in the midst of that darkness, that flaming torch, which was the supernatural presence of God, cast light only on one thing, the emblems of the sacrifice, which were the basis of the covenant. In other words, in times of great darkness, it may happen that God will illuminate nothing for you. He won't let you know why you're there or what's going to happen next, but he'll illuminate just one thing for you, the sacrifice, which is the emblem of the covenant. Because God wants you to come to the place in your experience where you know that when he made a covenant, he committed himself. that there is nothing more that God can do to commit himself than to make that covenant. I'm reminded of the words of Paul in Romans 8:32. He that did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how will he not also with him freely give us all things? That's the final sacrifice. It's the death of God's Son, Jesus Christ, on the cross for our sins. And if you can see nothing else, if there's darkness all around you, as long as you can see that sacrifice, that Jesus died, then you know that God is on your side. Paul says just a little later in Romans 8, if God be for us, who can be against us? That's a good question. How can you know that God is for you? You can know it this way, by making the same commitment to God that God has made to you. And on that commitment, God will receive you into covenant relationship with himself. Now I want to trace today the outworking of that covenant in history, and also in the personal relationship that it produced between God and Abraham. I've expressed this as clearly and as briefly as I know how in my book, The Marriage Covenant. So I'm going to read to you some paragraphs from that book. These paragraphs explain the outworking in history of the covenant that the Lord made with Abraham. The death of the sacrificed animal is physical, but it symbolizes another form of death for the one who offers the sacrifice and passes through the pieces. The one who does this hereby renounces all right from that moment to live for himself. As each party passes through the pieces of the sacrifice, he says in effect to the other, "If need be, I will die for you. From now on, your interests take precedence over my own. If I have anything you need but cannot supply, then my supply becomes your supply. I no longer live for myself, I live for you." In God's sight, this act of making a covenant is no empty ritual. It is a solemn and sacred commitment. If we trace through history the course of events that resulted from the Lord's covenant with Abraham, we see that each party had to make good the commitment which the covenant represented. Some years later, when Abraham had become Abraham, God said to him, "I want your son, Isaac, your only son. The most precious thing you have is no longer yours, because you and I are in covenant. It is mine." To his eternal credit, Abraham did not falter. He was willing to offer up even Isaac. Only at the last moment did the Lord intervene directly from heaven and stop him from actually slaying his son. However, that is not the end of the story. God had also committed himself to Abraham. 2,000 years later, God, in his turn, fulfilled his part of the covenant. To meet the need of Abraham and his descendants, God offered up his only son. But this time, there was no last-minute reprieve. On the cross, Jesus laid down his life as the full price of redemption for Abraham and all his descendants. That act was the outcome of the commitment that God and Abraham had made to each other on that fateful night 2,000 years earlier when they passed between those pieces of the sacrifice. All that followed from then on in the course of history was determined by their covenant. So solemn, so total, and so irrevocable is the commitment that is made in a covenant. Well, that was the practical outworking of that covenant in history. Each person, God and Abraham, had made a total commitment. There came a time when God called on Abraham to fulfill his commitment and offer Isaac. But God's commitment was just as total as Abraham's. And so, 2,000 years later, the other side of the covenant came into force. God gave up his only son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Remember that the commitment you make to God determines the measure of God's commitment to you. Total commitment to God calls forth total commitment from God. That's the very essence of covenant. However, that covenant also had a further practical effect in Abraham's personal relationship with God. In the Epistle of James, chapter 2, James is speaking about what Abraham did when he offered up Isaac and the result. And he says this, "Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he offered up Isaac his son on the altar? You see that faith was working with his works, and as a result of the works, faith was perfected. And the scripture was fulfilled which says, 'And Abraham believed God, and it was reckoned to him as righteousness.' And he was called the friend of God. Through that covenant commitment, and through its outworking in the offering up of Isaac, Abraham was reckoned as God's friend. That's a very significant and a very honorable title. The lesson is this: covenant is the door to true friendship. When two men make covenant with one another, when two persons make covenant and live out the terms of their covenant, that is true friendship.
You know, I want to reemphasize something that Derek said in this teaching. He said, in times of great darkness, it may happen that God won't let you know why you're there or what's going to happen next, but He'll illuminate just one thing for you, the sacrifice, the emblem of the covenant, because God wants you to come to the place where you know that He made a covenant and committed Himself. Boy, that's the power of the Christian life. There's more to come as Derek Prince, Legacy Radio, continues.
There are invisible spiritual powers in heavenly places. Hierarchies of angels are engaged in war on a scale that most Christians cannot imagine. And you are being drawn into the action. Why? Because as a follower of Jesus, you can play a key role in determining the outcome. The question is, are you ready to take your place in God's plan for the finale of the ages? In his new book, Rules of Engagement, Derek Prince offers the guidance you need to take your place in this monumental conflict. With it, you'll discover how to develop the character of a warrior and become more and more like Jesus Christ, your commanding officer. You'll gain confidence and learn what you need to know to complete the mission. To order your copy for only $12.95, call toll-free 1-800-448-3261. That's 1-800-448-3261. In Canada, call 888-737-0771. Order Rules of Engagement and conquer the trials you face now and prepare for victory in the greater battles to come. 800-448-3261. That's 800-448-3261. Or order securely when you visit us online at derekprince.org.
Welcome back to Derek Prince Legacy Radio. I'm Stephen Mansfield. It's good to have you with us. And we're going to be listening to the final section here of Derek's teaching today on relationship with God. If you have not been with us, this is such an important topic. Log on to the website at derekprince.org and be sure and listen to these teachings, the ones you've missed, the ones in the future that you might miss, because this is powerful and transforming stuff. Let's listen now as Derek tells us how to have a relationship with God.
Alas, in the world today, the word friend has been watered down. It's a very cheap word, and friendship can be a very cheap thing. But I want you to know that God's standard of friendship has not changed. For God, friendship is based on covenant commitment. Through covenant commitment, Abraham became the friend of God. Under the new covenant, Jesus wants to bring us into the same relationship with Him as His friends that Abraham entered into under the old covenant. In John chapter 15 and verse 15, Jesus says to His disciples, "No longer do I call you slaves, but I have called you friends." That's a promotion from being a slave to being a friend. But we need to understand for ourselves, just as much as for Abraham, that friendship is not cheap. It costs something to be the friend of Jesus. For us, the basis is the same as it was for Abraham. It's covenant commitment. Jesus laid down His life, and He said, "Greater love hath no man than this, that He lay down His life for His friends." But remember that if we are to be Jesus' friends, we have to lay down our life for Him. It's a two-way relationship, a two-way commitment. In the first epistle of John, chapter 1 and verse 3, John says this: "What we have seen and heard, we proclaim to you also, that you also may have fellowship with us. And indeed, our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ." In other words, the gospel is an invitation from the Godhead to share the fellowship that Father and Son share with one another. That word fellowship in Greek is koinonia. It's a very important word in New Testament Greek. It means literally sharing in common. So fellowship is sharing in common. We are invited to share the same relationship that God the Father and God the Son have together. And one thing is very clear about the relationship: God the Father and God the Son have everything in common. Neither withholds anything from the other. In John chapter 17 and verse 10, Jesus is speaking to the Father, and he says this: "All things that are mine are thine, and thine are mine." That's perfect koinonia, perfect fellowship, the perfect sharing of all things. It's the perfect pattern of relationship that God wants to bring us into. There has to be a certain order. The one who's speaking has to put mine before thine. Jesus said, "Everything I have is yours." And on the basis of that, he was able to go on and say, "And everything you have is mine." Now, if we want that kind of a relationship, we have to follow the same order. We have to say to the Lord, "Lord, everything I have is yours. I withhold nothing. I make a total, unreserved commitment." And once you can say that, "All mine are thine," then you can also know, "All thine are mine." If you make total commitment to God, God responds with total commitment to you. Let me say that, what I've said already. The measure of God's commitment to you is determined by the measure of your commitment to God. God doesn't make halfway commitments, and he doesn't want halfway commitments. God has established the price. He has laid down the price for that relationship. It is everything you have. Are you willing to make that kind of a commitment to God?
You know, the idea that we can have friendship with God is sometimes hard for us to understand. And this is largely because our modern understanding of the word friendship is so watered down, it's so weak, as Derek said. Friendship just means folks you can have fun with, just folks who cost you nothing. But I have to tell you that the significant relationships in my life are costly. I think if you'll think about your life, you'll find the same thing. You know, your relationship with your spouse, your relationship with your best friend, that's the one you've had for 20 years or whatever, that's an expensive relationship. That's costly. That requires care and concern. Divorces happen because people take the friendship they have with their spouse lightly, as though it's something automatic, and that friendship eventually dissipates. Friendship, as Christianity understands it, friendship as God defined it, is a covenantal relationship. It's something where there's a commitment. You know, I often say you have a destiny, but your destiny is fulfilled by investing in the destinies of others. That's godly friendship. Friendship is where you invest in people, where you give yourself to them. And yes, you receive from them, but that's not the main reason that you give yourself to them. The Bible says if you want to have a friend, you have to show yourself friendly. And that's the nature of the relationship we have with God. That's the nature of the friendship that we have with God, that it costs us something, and it cost him something, and that's the covenantal relationship that now we call friendship. This is a powerful and transforming truth, and if you've missed any of this teaching, I want you to be sure and get these truths into your soul by listening to the repeat of this on DerekPrince.org, where you'll also find information about a podcast that will help you if you use an iPod in any way. You can listen to this teaching while you're working out or doing other things and really get these truths into your life. Well, that's all the time we have for today. For everyone at Derek Prince Ministries, I'm Stephen Mansfield. Join us again tomorrow as the legacy continues.
We are so very glad that you could be with us today for Derek Prince Legacy Radio. To order a copy of Derek's newest book, Rules of Engagement, for $12.95, give us a call toll-free, 1-800-448-3261. That's 1-800-448-3261. In Canada, call 888-737-0771. Our numbers again, 800-448-3261, 800-448-3261. Or in Canada, call 888-737-0771. And of course, you can order securely online at DerekPrince.org. Derek Prince Legacy Radio is a broadcast outreach of Derek Prince Ministries and produced in association with Audio Aviators. For more information about anything heard on today's program, visit us on the web at DerekPrince.org. That's DerekPrince.org.